We are going to be a different kind of witness. Not a witness with the human eye, but a witness who lets God run his own universe. Not a witness separate and apart from God, but a witness who says, I and the Father are one. We are releasing ourselves from the mortal mind, the mortal body, the mortal life, the mortal sense of things. We're giving the universe back to God. For his horizon will then become our horizon. We will find that the new horizon is infinite. Through the Christ mind, your horizon is without boundaries. You are in the infinite invisible. The unveiling of God in you as your life and your substance is an unveiling that will come upon this earth in every individual. No longer will we go forth looking for God. We will not be seeking to find a God somewhere else, nor will we blindly walk past God, not recognizing that God is everywhere. Now, I'm going to ask you to keep a scorecard for one day in your life along these lines. Because God is the only existence, the only substance, the only life, we know that God exists throughout all that we call time and space. And that God 5,000 years ago is the same as God this moment, is the same as God 5,000 years from now, and is the same here as well as in Alaska, the same here as well as in Australia. In short, throughout the universe, God is the same. But accepting that God is spirit and God is all, then we have a complete infinite spiritual universe without boundaries. The very nature of the word infinite means limitless, without boundaries. And therefore God, being infinite, is without boundaries, limitless. Everywhere. And only God is there. Now then, you're to look at your universe and know that your five senses can never see this infinite spirit, just as it cannot see the air that you're breathing. But all around us is infinite spirit, God. I walk through God. God walks through me. All that is here is God. All that is anywhere is God. And my knowledge of it makes me attuned to God. I am not denying God's presence anywhere, in anyone, in any country, in any planet, in any moon or star or sun. God is everywhere, and only God is there. I'm not even accepting the ocean or the star or the sky or the moon to be there, because only God is there. And through my finite imitation material brain, I look at God and I see a moon, a star, a sun, a sky, an earth, a person, an animal, a tree, a vegetable, but only God is there. All is my Father's Spirit, including me. I am my Father's Spirit, including the fellow next door. He is my Father's Spirit. We are not in form, we are spirit. Now that is the omnipresence of God. And once you have established that only the presence of God exists, then you have agreed with the teaching of Scripture that God is all. That Spirit is all. You have the allness of Spirit established as your consciousness. That becomes a fact for you, just like 2 and 2 is 4. All is the Spirit of God. Well, some people say 2 and 2 are 5. And that's like saying a physical person is the Spirit of God. A physical person is not the Spirit of God. A physical person does not have the qualities of God. A physical person does not have the qualities of spirit. Spirit is indestructible. And therefore, a physical person, not being indestructible, cannot be spirit. And I'm not going to try to make material beings spirit or spiritual. Only spirit is spiritual. But if all there is spirit, and a physical person is not spirit, then there cannot be a physical person. There is none. And there cannot be a physical person dying, because there is none to die. I'm letting go of these concepts called physical people. I am recognizing that there is only the Spirit of God, and that is the recognition of omnipresence. God is everywhere and only God. Now, because God is everywhere and only God, because matter is nowhere, it couldn't be there because God made all that is made out of God's own substance. God made me out of God's own substance. God made you out of God's own substance. God made everyone out of His Spirit. And therefore, there is no material universe. There is only a spiritual universe. Now, where are you going to hang disease? Where are you going to put it? You only see diseased matter, but there is no matter. You only see poor matter, but there is no matter. You only see painful matter, but there is no matter. You only see problems where there is matter, but there is no matter. You're being a faithful witness. I have come to bear witness to the truth that there is no matter. There is only my Father's Spirit. And therefore, when disease appears, pain appears, problems appear, poverty appears, starvation appears, are we being an ostrich, putting our head in the sand and pretending it isn't there, or are we accepting God's word that I am all, and therefore I cannot be these imperfections you are seeing, and they cannot be real? They exist in the counterfeit mind. Now then, because the presence of spirit is all there is, there can be no power in matter. There can be no power in a bomb, an earthquake, an ocean. No power in a falling airplane, no power in drowning, no power in bullets, no power in death. There is only the power of spirit, because there is no other substance. And that is the recognition that God is all power as well as all substance. God is omnipotent. God is truly almighty. Now, if you doubt it, if you think God is almighty but people can still be killed, then you're saying, you're denying your very belief. How can God be almighty and people be killed? It's impossible to kill someone if God is almighty, because then you're saying that God is permitting you to kill somebody. So again, you're faced with this. God being almighty, that which you see as a killing is part of the hypnotism of the dream in which the human race exists. Now you're going to see the power come out of this, because first you're accepting the all presence of spirit, God, and no other. Second, because of it, there's no other power except the power of spirit. And so you now have omnipresence of spirit and omnipotence of spirit. And as these are formed in your consciousness, going one more step to the only mind there is the mind of spirit, the divine mind. There is no other. And so we have the only mind that exists in this universe is the mind of God, because there's no other being. Now, if the only mind that exists is the mind of God, and it is too pure to behold iniquity, where do I come off seeing iniquity? I'm saying there's another mind, mine. And I see destruction, death, disease. But God, the only mind, doesn't see these things. I do. I'm really great. I'm telling God all about the universe now. You see how ridiculous it gets? We are living in a false mind. There is a mind. It is infinite. There is a power. It is infinite. There is a presence, a spiritual self. It is infinite. And this is why God is all. Infinite God is all. And because the power of God is the only power, it is right this minute being that power and maintaining the integrity of its spiritual universe. When we are looking out at a death, it is not happening. When we are looking out at a birth, it is not happening. When we are looking out at a disease, it is not happening. Only God is happening. And you can live in that universe where God is happening. Have ye that mind which was in Christ Jesus. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. There is no cripple in God's universe. There is no deformity in God's universe. There is nothing in God's universe but perfect you. Because perfect you is God itself. Now when we're told, be perfect as your Father which is in heaven, what utter nonsense would that be if it were possible for us to turn away and say, I will not be perfect, I refuse. Why would Christ put before us such a statement, be ye perfect as your Father, when the Father is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, when the Father is all power, all self, all spirit, all presence, all mind? How could we be told to be as perfect as our Father except to tell us that all you can be in reality is all that your Father is? How could God be all power and permit you to be something less than perfect? And so we take a long look at ourselves and we say, oh my goodness, how could I have ever thought God would permit me to be imperfect, lacking? And then we find that all of these problems have a great purpose. They've never happened in reality. You've never been hurt. Nobody has ever robbed you. Nobody has ever in any way hurt you physically or mentally. You've been hurt by your false consciousness, the belief that you are not the substance of God, the life of God. And in that belief, you had another life, another substance, and it was hurt. But you weren't being perfect. You weren't accepting yourself to be that substance. Now in your daily scorecard, accepting God to be omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and there's nothing else, go the extra mile. And because the Father is these things and I and the Father are one, I am omnipresent. I am omnipotent. I am omniscient. Oh, no, not the physical you. That isn't you. That's been crucified. The substance of God, which is your substance, is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Try to keep a scorecard and see how many times a day you deny that. And you'll see why we have had our human problems. That is the truth of our being. And our denial of that truth, which occurs 500 times a day, represents the problems that we face. when you learn not to deny that your substance is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, you will discover that your problems dissolve, diminish. You will discover what Jesus taught. Who told you were naked? Who told you were crippled? Who told you were poor? You're living a false sense of life. You can be perfect as your Father for one simple reason. You don't have to become perfect as your Father. You have to learn the nature of your being. The nature of your being is already perfect as your Father. You're living in a false sense of self, a three-dimensional you. Open your eyes to the new horizon. Look out at the infinite nature of God, realizing that the infinite nature of God is the infinite nature of my own being. Do not see yourself after the flesh. Judge not after appearances. So to your spiritual selfhood by denying your material selfhood. Now we have tried to acknowledge God with our tongues. Oh, I love God. But we don't acknowledge God in the way God tells us to acknowledge God. Acknowledge me in all thy ways. Not just when you run to church, not when you get on your hands and knees. All thy ways, 24 hours a day, without ceasing, acknowledge me as your being, as the being of your neighbor, as the being of him who persecutes you. Even your enemy, acknowledge me as the reality and not the enemy as the reality. And then you take the mask off the enemy. You take the mask off poverty. You take the mask off starvation. You see, these are limitations of the human mind. They're the false horizons. We think we can go just so far and there's a limitation. We can go just so far and then we are thwarted. Over here we are frustrated. But these aren't true. These horizons are only mental limitations of a mind that does not exist. For there's only one mind. And so we learn to accept the infinite horizon. It doesn't end over there. The sky doesn't meet the sea over there. It meets nowhere. There are no boundaries on the life of God, and that is my life. There are no boundaries on the abundance of God, and that is my life. There are no boundaries on the health of God, and that is my life. We don't make it so by declaring it. We make it so only by accepting that which God tells us already exists. Be ye perfect as your Father. For one is your Father, which is in heaven, and your heaven becomes your awareness that God is on the earth as your substance, and you have been living in a false sense of substance called matter. Now you live in your spiritual universe, accepting that only your spiritual universe exists, only its power exists, only its mind exists. And if you can go through one day without denying omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence of spirit, you will find a new horizon. That day, if you can walk through one morning and not by something you say or think, deny that God is all presence, power, and mind, you will discover that you have been living in a false, limited self when you have an infinite, perfect self to live in. And when you find that you have been denying the presence of God around you and the power of God around you, you at least then will become aware of the fact that this is the basis of man's problem on the earth. To acknowledge God in all your ways means to acknowledge God's omnipresence, God's omnipotence, God's omniscience. Just the word God isn't going to do it. The substance called God, so that you know if you move your hand here, you're moving it through his substance. You know that if there stands an intruder, an invader, he's standing in the substance of God, and that's all you have to know. What else is there to know? Once you know that God is there and God is here, and God is the only power, is God's power hate? Is God's power destruction or love? You see, we haven't been tuned to the power that is here. We haven't been tuned to love. We've been tuned to the love of mortal people, of temporary passing images, not to the love of God. We haven't been tuned to the peace of God, but to the peace of treaties, of hands that sign little documents, not tuned to the peace that is omnipresent. We haven't been tuned to the fullness of God being, so we haven't experienced it. Now, every word, every thought, every deed, every action of Jesus on this earth was a demonstration that when you're tuned to God by being in the acceptance of yourself to be the light of God and your neighbor the light of God, no matter what he looks like, no matter what he says or does, no matter how he shabbily mistreats you, turn the other cheek, because all that is there is the Spirit of God, and you have accepted that the Spirit of God is not there by believing that there is a thief, a murderer, or some other miscreant present. We cannot deny the Spirit of God in anyone, or we deny it in ourselves. Now try that scorecard. Just make a note, either in your written or mental: omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, the Spirit of God. There is no other. And the next time you find yourself fearful, frightened, worried, discontent, unhappy, inharmonious, realize that you're denying those truths, because those truths about God are the truth about you. Now, this is a change of consciousness, a change that makes you begin to see that love does not depend on a person. Love does not change with changing conditions. Love is God, and it's omnipresent, all power, all knowing, everywhere. When you're not finding it, you're not tuned to it. It's there. The way to tune is to find the Spirit of God in the secret place of the Most High. That secret place is the temple of your own being. Your own soul is where you'll find God. And your soul is ready to pour forth not just a limited quart or pound or two fishes or five loaves of bread. Your soul is the doorway to all that God is. Your soul is the fourth dimension of consciousness. All that I have is in your soul. And all of these teachings to turn you to the perfection of your being, to the acceptance of God's Spirit, presence, power, is to turn you to your soul. Every problem you have had has been there to turn you to your highest self, which alone can take you above the problem. The whole purpose of your life is to realize that you have never been separated from God in spite of what may have appeared. That you have moved into a veil of flesh and you will move out just as easily. in the realization of your own infinite spiritual being. And then don't try to use that spirit. Don't try to take spiritual power and make it do something for a me. Get rid of the me. Let spiritual power live itself. Don't try to build a fence around it again. Don't try to put it into a bottle. Let infinity move through your acceptance that the infinite self is yourself, and experience the infinity of yourself without mental limitations about it, with total trust that spirit is living its perfect life as you. Get rid of the second self, the me, and you'll find the release of that second self will show you the meaning of you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve spirit and matter because only one exists, spirit. Thou art the spirit of God. You rest in this. And the spirit of God being the only power, you have no powers to fear. The spirit of God being the only mind, the infinite mind, you have an infinite mind functioning as your mind. It knows every need you have. You learn the meaning of resting, abiding, dwelling, being at peace, knowing my Father knoweth my needs, my spirit knoweth, my spirit hath the power, my spirit is everywhere, I can rest. I can walk up to the storm and say, be still. It is I, the Spirit. Rest. I can look at the whirlwind and know, that can't be real. I am the Spirit. Spirit is never destructive. Spirit is never a whirlwind. That's just a mental idea. It has no power. God, Spirit, is not in the whirlwind. God's spirit is not in the cancer. God's spirit is not in the arthritis. God's spirit is not in the pain. God's spirit is not in the crippling. God's spirit is not in the hunger. But then what are these things if God's spirit isn't in them? They are nothing. They are ideas in the mind. But they are ideas in a false mind, because the only mind is the mind of God. I must not live in this false mind. I must be still. I must know the truth that God is the only mind, the only power, the only presence, and that includes all that I am. Let's stand behind Moses a moment. I am. I am that spirit that the world calls God. I am that intelligence that the world calls God. I am that power that the world calls God. I'm not Moses at all. I am the Spirit of God. And there again, there's the crucifixion of the physical Moses and the realization that I am the Spirit. Do you see what ascension means? To ascend over the belief that you are a physical being. To ascend into the kingdom of heaven on earth. To ascend into reality. To ascend into God being. To ascend out of that which never has been the kingdom of God, but has been our mental misperception. This is ascension. The birth of a new you. The rebirth as the spiritual identity which you have ever been. Blessed are they who are persecuted in my name. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so your relatives are mistreating you. Let's call that your persecution. What are you to do? Resent it? Grieve? No. No. But be persecuted in my name. Realize my name is your name. You are the Spirit of God. Oh, well, then who's being mistreated by your relatives? Somebody else that you used to call yourself. It was your false concept of yourself which was mistreated. They were mistreating a physical you. And you were accepting it and grieving about it. You were living in a separate existence than God. You were serving mammon. This is the separation from God which we all know about. I, the physical human me, grieve because somebody mistreats me. But did they mistreat God? Could it be? They mistreated my false concept of myself. Living in a false concept, I had a false experience called persecution. Living as the Spirit of God, knowing myself to be that Spirit, I will then know them to be that Spirit. And this is my spiritual integrity. This is my spiritual consciousness. Establishing them as Spirit and myself as Spirit, I come under spiritual law. And in spiritual law, there is no persecution. Do you see the power then of harmony and peace rests in your knowledge? That whoever might persecute you is not there. Only the Spirit of God is there. And there is no you to be persecuted, for only the Spirit of God is where you are. And as this becomes your daily task, your prayer without ceasing, your abiding place, your sanctuary, you finally come to that secret place of the Most High, which could say, I am the Spirit. I am that I am. Then you're in oneness and not in two-ness. You're not Spirit and something else. Or you're not something else not knowing Spirit. You are that Spirit realized. That is Christ realized. That is Christ consciousness. That is what Jesus was bringing to earth. The realization that I am the Spirit of God is the Christ consciousness, which is the only power. That consciousness raises the multitudes from poverty, from starvation, from death. That consciousness appears as a cripple who isn't crippled. That consciousness appears as multitudes who are not hungry. That consciousness appears as you, living in harmony, peace, and abundance, in spite of what is around you, visibly in the world. That is the consciousness which is the new horizon. It is your new self, which is your realization that you have never been less than the living child of the living God. But through endless forms of unawareness about the nature of God, we have all been born into a false concept of ourselves. We are going back through these false births, these false lives, these false experiences, and we are honoring God with all our hearts. And so we will make an attempt to go through one day, not denying the presence, power, and intelligence of God to run a perfect universe, and see what happens. See how you have the power to remake your world, no matter how difficult it may appear to a human mind. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to the Spirit of your being. And if you have the faith of even a grain of mustard seed, you will say to that mountain, that problem, that error, that difficulty, that lack, that limitation, remove. And it will remove for one reason. It is only a mental image. It may be 14,000 feet high, but it's a mental image. It may be the Pacific Ocean, but it's a mental image. Only spirit is. And therefore, only spirit is your name. All evil is a mental image. Someday, the evil that is a mental image will remain in the level of consciousness from which you departed, and you will find it never can enter into your real self. There's nothing in this world that can change sunshine from being sunshine. You can't even leave your footprints in the sunshine. There's nothing in this world that can defile spirit. And when you accept yourself to be spirit, you can stand in the middle of the bombs. They cannot enter your being. Try to remember then that the great teaching on this earth is the Christ teaching, which says, you are the light. You are the spirit. And that God is all and there is none else. And then see if you haven't narrowed your horizons down to a limited human point of view, when the only horizon there is God's horizon, spiritual horizon, unlimited horizon. Unlimited in everything. Unlimited in everything. Unlimited in love. Unlimited in truth. Unlimited in beauty. How can you limit spiritual love, or spiritual abundance, or spiritual anything, when it is God itself, infinite? How can you limit life, when it is God itself, infinite? Can you have a limited life? That's not life at all. That's concept. Let the dead bury the dead. Come forth and be separate from the limited concept of life, which has nothing to do with God. God is infinite now and here. You are that living spirit of God. Let your horizon be God's horizon, your life God's life, your thought God's thought, your love God's love, your peace God's peace. No man can take it away. You might want to reread this chapter. We have all read it many times. And always we come away from it feeling its uplift, but never really accepting what it says. And it's telling you in no uncertain terms that there is no world out here of pain, death, disease, and discord. So maybe we're going to look at that chapter for a minute, just so you see that nothing you've heard today is not in this chapter. It's simply been spelled out. The sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is universal mesmerism, which produces the entire dream of human existence. It must be understood there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. The point is, there are no human conditions. There is only God life. Now then, all of this must change in your own consciousness, not out there. Out there is all invisible God. In you, when you accept invisible God, you're open to it. You're flowing in the one infinite self. This chapter is going to change the world. It's going to remove the mask of evil that has no real existence, by raising the consciousness of mankind. Now don't look for spiritual power. If you are spirit, you are spiritual power. Don't seek it, accept it, be it. No, I am the Spirit of God, and therefore I am all power. But don't live in a vacuum isolated from the rest of the world. Everyone is spirit. Love your neighbor as that spirit, and you will find the spiritual power flowing through you and through them will unite in love. The spirit never faileth. Omnipresent spirit, omnipotent spirit, omniscient spirit. Look back on your day and say, how many times did I deny that by some thought or deed? And when you have a day which says, I didn't deny it today, you will have lived that day in the kingdom of heaven on earth. New Jerusalem is the 12th and last chapter of this book. Naturally, it follows when you have made a turning to begin to glimpse the new horizon without boundaries, then you are approaching the realization of what will be called the New Jerusalem. And then after that, which is next week, we'll have 5 weeks devoted to living in the fourth dimension of consciousness in this three-dimensional world. Those 5 weeks will take us right up to the end of the year. And then for the next 19 weeks, from January 4th on out to middle of May, we're going to take the 19 chapters of Thunder of Silence and do them very carefully. Also, starting Tuesday, the 25th, I think it is, of November, a week from this Tuesday, for 6 weeks, I'll be making a few talks at the Metaphysical Library downtown for 6 weeks, starting November 25th, on Tuesday at 12:15, lunchtime. So, that's the program, but the real program is God in you. You're the program. And so, let's see if by next week we can come to the New Jerusalem with the idea of beginning to see that this means the new self. The new self is the New Jerusalem. The new self, the Christ self, which becomes the living church of God. You become the living church of God. And in you is done the will of the Father. Not in a building, but in you. Not in the old Jerusalem where the temple was, but in the temple of your being. But first make your steps, not denying omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence, and you will discover when you are able not to deny them, the New Jerusalem is being formed as your being. Thank you. Let's have a minute of silence or a few seconds. Blessings and thanks very much.